This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Mary Kitts Miller from Kemp, Texas, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 8th, episode 1401. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
When you're dead, you're done, so let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
Little BB King to take you into the weekend. Well, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for stopping by Horses in the Morning today. And Jamie is off today. She announced, she called me on Wednesday after the show and said, you know, one of the big perks to my husband now being an airline pilot for American, I think it is. She said, as we get free airline tickets and he has the week off. And he said to me, why don't we go to Hawaii tomorrow? So that's what they did. They showed up at the airport. Apparently, you show up at the airport, and if there are free seats, you get on a flight, and they are now in Maui. So that is where Jamie is, kind of an unexpected last-minute trip. You know, why don't I have anybody in my... Jennifer, why are you not an airline pilot? That's my question.
I'm sorry. I missed that, too. I should just go there.
Yes.
I just added that to my bucket list. Marry airline pilot.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Apparently, they can get free tickets to anywhere on American as long as there's seats. The whole family.
Oh, man.
So that's kind of
I've
a nice deal.
I've never been to Hawaii.
Me either. I haven't been there either.
Oh, technically, I have. I've been to the airport there.
Oh, you were
on the way
over
to the Philippines.
Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. I just went and picked up some bread.
You got to lay and left.
Yes.
Well, so that's why Jamie is not here. I don't know when she's coming back. She doesn't know when she's coming back because that all depends on when they can get a flight home. So we'll see when Jamie returns. But I'm so glad they got to do this. He has a couple of weeks off. Chad has a couple of weeks off before he starts his intensive training to be a commercial pilot. It's a whole new set of buttons from the F-16 fighter plane.
And I was going to say, was he in the military, obviously?
He's been an F-16 fighter pilot for like 20 years.
Okay, now is that Air Force or Navy?
Air Force, yep.
Oh, man, my whole family's Air Force.
Yep, so yeah, they're out and he flies, he's a trainer. He trains people how to fly F-16s. So the new jet is not going to be one as fast, not as nimble, and not have as many missiles.
Someone told me, and you'll have to ask Jamie, that you can tell if your pilot was Air Force or Navy by the way they land. If you kind of skim the ground and lift off a couple times, they're Air Force. And if they come to a screeching one-point landing halt, they're Navy because they've landed on aircraft carriers. It's just speculation.
So I'll notice that the next time I'm flying in a commercial jet. We'll see how they land. You know, sometimes in those commercial jets, you do get the guy who just slams on the brakes when you hit the ground. And
yeah,
I always...
he's used to not trying to fly off of the carrier.
So we know that pilot was ex-Navy, the ones who just slammed on the brakes. I always figured it was because, you know, they had those turnoffs of the runway. I always figured he wanted to hit the first turnoff so he could get to the gate quicker.
That's totally what it is.
Yeah. Just wanted to save himself 5 minutes. Well, that's what's happening today. Thank you so much, Mary, for filling in. If you're not familiar with Mary, she does a training episode with us once a month here. This is her first attempt at really bad ads today. So, and Mary's a bit of a grammar Nazi. So this ought to be good because that when we talked about who we were going to get today, Jennifer said, well, Mary, she hates bad grammar. So this ought to be perfect.
I can't stand it. And of course, then that leads people to thinking I'm a grammar expert, which gets me really nervous. And I like to think, you know, I'm not a grammar expert, but I have no problem correcting people's grammar on Facebook. It gets me lots of friends. I figured I am the standard for perfect grammar.
There you go. What'd you go to school for?
Art.
Of course.
But I really loved English, so...
Of course, you're a horse girl. You're not math. There are very few math horse girls. And I know there's a couple. We have a couple in our audience.
AP calculus. I mean, I'm pretty smart.
We have a couple in our audience. We have a couple in our audience that are accountants. So we're giving you guys the exception to the rule about that. Well, Mary, we know you're smart. That's why we love you. You know, I always say hire people that are better than you. And I have done that with every one of my hosts.
Good. Yeah. Good. Yes. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. And I just play the dumb one here in the corner. And
she didn't have to pause at all, Glenn. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't. No, there's no question about that. Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. Following a quick run down of the horsey headlines, world-renowned photographer Scott Trees is going to stop by to tell us about his new video series. And then mid-show, Deborah Collins from the BLM is going to give us the skinny on their new Trainer Ambassador pilot program. And for our East of the Mississippi listeners, this is going to be very interesting stuff. And then finally, really bad ads, is the last float in today's parade with the broom and shovel in hand. So, in closing, happy National Empanada Day, everybody. So head to your local favorite Mexican restaurant and celebrate with gusto.
Oh, I know where we're going for lunch. Empanadas. I love empanadas, too.
Yeah. Me, too. Me, too. Anything with... I always say that I love Mexican food, but in reality, I just love any combination of tortillas and cheese.
with some kind of meat product stuffed in there.
Yeah.
Even more important.
Yes. Yeah. Cheese is like the base of my food pyramid.
Yeah. Well, I learned a lot about Mary when we went to Roll to the Horse together about her eating habits. And pretty much, if it isn't junk food, Mary doesn't eat it. If you take Jamie, who is the vegan Nazi, if you take Jamie and Mary, they're at the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to food.
I'm like the obstinate toddler. Those are my eating habits.
Yes.
Like I only eat mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese.
Yes. And,
I won't try anything new.
Chicken nuggets and anything that's bad for you.
Well,
Mary
and I'll
loves.
Eat meat, but I don't like it to be in the form of a body part. So like not a leg or wing, or it has to be a nugget, patty, filet, or stick form. And then I'm happy.
All right. Rosie just chimed in and said, I know the extent of her math is I know how many legs a horse has, and that's enough for me. So there you go.
I like you, Rosie.
I can graph an imaginary root. It's not really there, but we're going to graph it anyway.
I have no idea what you just said. So let's go
but
to
I
Daily Winnie's.
But I can't count change back. So.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Jackie Mader, I think is how you pronounce her name. She's an auditor of ours in Australia, and she is looking at getting her first horse, and I think she's picked one out. So we're thinking good thoughts for you, Jackie, and we hope that this works out. I looked at the pictures of your new potential horsey, and there's a cutie there. So I hope it'll be a good fit for you, and we're all rooting for you. It's always fun when people get their first horse. And oh, by the way, cross your fingers, we might have Beaker sold to a very good home. So we're excited
Ooh,
about that too.
Nice.
Cross your fingers. You're never sure until they pick him up. But we hope that that works out. That's your cue.
Okay. There was another note on here, so I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so my Daily Winnie goes out to everyone on Facebook who took the time to go over to Road of the Horses Facebook page and throw my name in. They were taking suggestions for a possible third candidate in the all-women competition they're having in 2017. And a ton of you wrote in and used my name, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. That was really cool.
It was neat. I mean, we posted it on a couple of the pages, and all of a sudden there was like 100 Mary Kitzmillers there.
Who knew? I could start an army.
You could. You could. A training army. You know, I there were some names on there that got a lot of votes that I had never heard of before, which is not unusual. There's like 9 million people in the horse world. But, you know, I thought I knew a lot of the trainers and things. But there's some women out there that have followings that I had never heard of before. We'll have to look into having a couple of them on the show because obviously.
Yeah, you know. I was just talking with someone about marketing in the horse industry, and I've been told this over the last few years. Oh, you're a girl. That works for you. You know, you know, there's not very many out there. And I stopped her. I said, no, actually, maybe it's true now to some extent, but there are a bunch of up-and-comers right now that are doing some really cool things with horses, and, you know, they're phenomenal trainers. So I think, you know, within the next few years, it's not going to be an uncommon thing to see a lot of girls out there kicking butt.
Well, before we get to our first guest here today, I have a couple news stories for you. First, we'll start off with the serious one first. Yesterday on the Australian episode, we had quite a conversation about the racing scandals in Australia involving cobalt, the use of cobalt, and apparently cobalt helps in performance in the racehorses and things. And of course, Black Caviar's trainer Peter Moody resigned and retired because of this whole thing. And so we discussed that at length yesterday. Well, then this morning it came out of New York that six harness racing trainers in New York State have received bans for cobalt infractions. So, I don't know. Cobalt, it seems like, Jennifer, has cobalt always been a problem? It just seems in the last couple of months we're hearing all about cobalt where we never heard about it
before. Well, they figured out a way to test for it.
I think that's probably what it is.
That's what it is. It's been around for quite some time, but these things stick around and they only come to light in the general public when they start to test for it. And what they have to do is, They start to test for it, and then after they do that, they set a minimum allowed level or no level, depending what the item is. And they've done some research onto whether or not it does, in fact, enhance performance. And some studies say it does, some studies say it doesn't. Their biggest concern being when used under certain circumstances at certain levels, it can be deadly. That was their biggest concern initially when they started to test for it. So I'm glad they're kind of getting on top of this and putting the hammer down sooner rather than later.
And, you know, it is a naturally occurring element. It's vitamin B has, if you do large doses of vitamin B, there's one of the things that you get with vitamin B is cobalt. And apparently what it does is it boosts the oxygen carrying capacity of the blood. It helps the blood carry more oxygen. So.
So it's a bit like the horse, the equivalent of blood doping. Is that?
Yeah, kind of like that.
I'm not a scientist.
It's a way of blood doping, right? But anyway, these six trainers in New York have been, harness trainers have been suspended at this point. So that's what's going on there. Another serious story, and then I'll get to the light story. And while Jennifer gets our first guest on the line here, and I'm sure we'll hear more about this with Karen on the endurance episode next week. We've talked about the fact that the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, has had a serious problem in the endurance world with horses dying and the care and welfare of horses. It's been an issue, through the past year. They were suspended for a while from the FEI for competitions. Well, it just so happens that they were scheduled to host the World Endurance Championships this year in Dubai. We've discussed this on the endurance episode before. And a lot of the countries, including the United States, said if they host it, we're considering not going. They won't send people because it's so bad over there. And they made the decision. The FEI has been meeting here this week. It was a big FEI meeting. And they've made the decision that they will not hold the World Endurance Championships in the UAE and that they'll be moved to someplace different. Now, that has not happened too often where they have something scheduled and they say, okay, because we don't like you, we're not going to hold it there, after it's already scheduled and we're in the year it's supposed to happen a couple months away.
Because I'd assume there'd be a lot of contracts in place.
Yeah.
And, on both sides.
You know, and the other thing is, let's not overlook the fact that, you know, we're talking about the Sultan, we're talking about Mohammed and the Sheikh Mohammed and all of that group that donates a lot of money to the endurance world, but they're also the same ones that have had these care issues with the horses, and that's what the FEI said. It's the opinion of the FEI that the UAE National Federation is not currently in the position to guarantee that horse welfare would be fully protected at an FEI World Endurance Championship in the UAE later this year. And I think what it really came down to was there was a lot of countries that said we aren't going. So wow. It wasn't going to happen. So I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this next week on the Endurance episode with Karen. One other story, a little lighter in nature, is that the wild horses of Assateague Island. Have you ever been to Assateague Island?
No, I haven't, but I read all the Misty of Chincoteague books.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's close.
Yay.
That's close enough.
Yay.
We were there, and actually, I have never seen bugs as much as you've seen them on Assateague Island. But anyway, you basically stayed on the beach because you couldn't walk in the woods. You were just swarmed with flies. But anyway, the wild horses of Assateague Island are going to be featured on a stamp. On a post office stamp.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they're getting their own stamp. It'll be featuring the seashore, and it's a very beautiful picture of the horses there on Assateague Island, and that's celebrating the National Park Service 100th anniversary. So it was a photograph by Tim Fitzharries of Fayetteville, Arkansas, that was used to create the stamp, and it will be coming out a little bit. Wait a minute. First day of issue. Oh, it's happening right now. So apparently you'll be able to get the stamp pretty soon at the post office.
Awesome.
So there you go.
You know, there was a Chincoteague for Pony for sale in Texas on Craigslist the other day out in Weatherford. And I was sorely tempted.
To add to your collection of 1,000 horses and various animals you have?
Yes, yes. For my art.
You know, I keep asking Mary, how many animals exactly are on the farm? And Mary keeps saying, I'm not counting them.
I refuse to count.
Mary, if you have to say, I refuse to count, that means there's a lot.
I now have 2 cows, which it's amazing I had 1 cow. But that was kind of a rescue operation.
Your collection is definitely increasing. You don't have a camel yet, though, right?
No, but I did have an emu once.
Oh, did you?
It was like owning a dinosaur. He was given to me. He was given to me and decided to, after having him for a while, sell him on Craigslist. And I got more calls for that freaking emu than I ever have for any horse I've ever listed for sale.
And they're kind of a hard animal, aren't they, emus?
Well, ours was... you know, I've heard that they can eviscerate you,
so I
was a little intimidated by mine. And he made this noise that was so deep, it literally sounded like a dinosaur.
Shivers through your body as you're walking around feeding the animals at night.
It's like having a velociraptor. Well, but then I've seen these adorable videos of emus on social media, and they're playing, they play and fetch, and they're goofy. I'm like, mine didn't do that.
All right, let's go to our first guest. We've had him on before. A matter of fact, I think he's been on with us since the very beginning, like 8 years on the show. He's done tips with us on photography. He's a world-renowned photographer. Scott Trees is joining us today, and we're going to talk about a new project he has in the works. Hello, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us again. You know, Jennifer and I were talking about it before the show. We think that you've been with us since the very beginning of the Horse Radio Network.
I think I have been. I know you contacted me early on in the game, and I was honored to be a part of it and totally supportive of what you're doing. It's been great to see how well you've done and how well you've grown. It's been phenomenal.
Are you on a speaker or a Bluetooth at all?
I'm on a headset. I'm on a headset.
We'll
that might be
come.
Doing it just a second. Let me.
We'll have to have you come
get that off
that.
For you a second.
Yeah, it's just a.
Didn't even think about that. Sorry. Hang on.
No problem. Yes, Scott, if you get a chance, head over to Horsetip Daily.
There you go.
Oh, thank you. If you hit a chance, head over to Horsetip Daily and search for Scott Trees, and he's done a whole bunch of tips for us on how to take better photographs of horses. So, Scott, thank you so much for stopping by. Again, we really appreciate it. I saw this promotion that you had for a new video series that you're doing, and Scott has been in the Arabian world for years and has done some amazing photographs. We saw one of his exhibits at the Kentucky Horse Park and has done some amazing photographs of Arabian horses. And now you're doing a video series called 12 People, 12 Horses, 12 Stories. Tell us about that.
Well, you're right. I've been doing video almost as long as I've been doing stills. I actually started off shooting 16mm film, so I've gone through the whole evolution of that, and that's been another side of my business, and I've done a lot of video work, a lot of commercial video work. So one of the things that I got involved with is that, you know, as an artist, certainly if the good Lord came down and said, you know, I'll let you take stills or video, but you can't do both, I would choose stills in a heartbeat, because that's my true passion in life is photography. But as a business person, and the flip side of my coin is that I've always loved video. And video is becoming an increasingly important part of any business, and certainly in media it's becoming more and more viable. And I've always known that. So one of the things is that, you know, I've been at this, you know, a couple of years. And so I'm basically in act three of my career right now. And part of my desire at this stage of my career is to try and get back some things as well. So I've always enjoyed the storytelling aspect of video, and there are not many people that shoot both effectively. I mean, it's two different types of hats that you have to wear, as opposed to being a photographer. You go for that that story in a single moment, and as a video shooter, you're also telling that story in a series of moments, and now you're adding sound. So there's a lot of stories in the about the Arabian horse, and you know, there was. In the 80s, I was part of that machine that created this myth and look about the Arabian horse, living art, and blah, blah, blah. And the three things came out of that era that didn't really ever change, and that's that they're beautiful, expensive, and you can't do anything with them. And, yeah, they're pretty. There's no question about that. And some of them are very expensive, but you can't do anything with them is really a misnomer. It's an incredibly versatile breed. So there's a lot of interesting stories out there. And in my travels around the world, I've always enjoyed hearing the stories that people have to share. So in kind of an aha moment one day, I went, well, you know, maybe we need to get those stories out there for people to hear. So I came up with the concept of 12 people, 12 stories, 12 horses. And essentially what I'm looking for is not so much the Arabian as show horse, but what the Arabian does besides show, which most people don't really think that they can do. And so my very first story was about a remarkable young lady named Alexa Nichols.
Oh, can I jump in here quick?
Yes. We
have something on the show called a tissue alert. when you watch Alexa Nichols' story, when you actually go, and I'm going to post that link on our Facebook page right now.
Okay.
When you go to watch this, I'm giving the audience a tissue alert.
Yeah, she's and it's a good tissue. It's not a bad tissue.
Right, right.
An amazing
young lady that was a very vibrant, talented horsewoman, majoring in opera, just a remarkable young woman that was on her way to school one morning in college, and on a rainy day, a gentleman lost control of her car and hit her head on and broke her neck from the C1 down. It didn't actually break the cord; it stretched the cord, but. She and her family have responded to this unexpected tragedy remarkably. She's got a phenomenal mindset and was a real inspiration, and it comes through in the project. And it's, you know, all of us, I think a lot of people have a fear of something like that happening to themselves or their children in life. And to see how this family has responded and how she has just not let this slow her down is a real inspiration. And so I'm looking for all kinds of stories. We're going to do one about a program in L.A. called Taking the Reins that deals with at-risk teens, and we're talking to some Wounded Warrior people, and we're talking to one lady contacted me that uses her Arabian for bow and arrow competitions on horseback. So, you know, we're looking for fun stories, serious stories, and I'm doing this in association with the Arabian Horsemen's Distress Fund. which is a great organization in the American horse industry that helps people such as the Nichols who had this accident, and via I think the year that they did it at the Ribbon Horse Nationals for Alexa, when they had a the trainers rode that people bid on the trainers for an auction for a ride, they generated $200,000 for her that evening, and it helped her buy a van and those kinds of things. So by doing it with the Horseman's Distress Fund and in keeping with their charter, they can do something to help promote the horse. And so if people make donations to this, then it obviously it's a tax donation for them. So that's how it's being funded. With the goal being basically, once it's paid for, and that's the problem as a producer, most of the times when we do video projects, I've got several in the making for TV right now, that we have to get them funded somehow, and usually that's with advertising. And the beauty of this is that it's paid for. So once it's done, anybody can use it, copy it, play it. We're investigating how to get it to schools and libraries so that they can have copies of them. And the whole purpose is to, don't have to, if they're paid for, then I want people to be able to access them. So it's a fun project, and it's a project that I hope will be ongoing for a while.
Well, I got to tell you, I did watch the video this morning with my tissues, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the craft of making good, engaging videos. This was very well done, Scott.
Thank you. It is, video, Glenn, it's kind of like we talked on your other shows about, photography is deceptively simple. I just got the new iPad Pro. It's got a 4K video capability in it. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, there's nothing to it. You just have to push the button. But probably the biggest difference between photography and video is the amount of work. As a photographer, once I'm done with the photo session, I'm pretty much done. I have to, maybe go tweak the pictures that the clients order and those kinds of things, but I'm essentially done. As a video shooter, once I'm done with that session, that's when the work just begins. And
we always say with audio or video, right? It's all in the editing. I mean, it really is.
Exactly.
The storytelling is in the editing, because you're always shooting about 100 times more than you actually need, and it's
absolutely
it's, yeah.
Absolutely, and like you've got to get your B-roll, and you as a probably the biggest difference as a video shooter to a still shooter is that as a still shooter, it's like I said, I'm capturing that moment, and as a video shooter, I'm going, well, where do I go from here? I mean, if we had just had Alexa on the screen for the however many minutes she was on screen talking, people would have lost interest. You've got to keep, and especially in today's short attention span world, you've got to keep. My theory as an editor, and this is where my psychology major comes in college, but I think you have to keep the eyes moving to keep the brain stimulated. So something has to be happening on screen. There is definitely an art to edit. And this type of piece I did, I call it a narrative tells the story, where it's not like we're have a script that we're working from, or we're not having somebody read to you about how great so-and-so was, blah, blah, blah. But we're actually hearing the words from the people that are telling the story. And it's not necessarily exactly how they told it. That's part of my interview, is that sometimes they'll give you a sentence or two that you realize need to be used someplace else out of context to get the... And that's what they were saying to you, but it's sometimes when people, especially getting interviewed, which wasn't the case with Alexa, she's a bright young lady and just, sat down and was very open, and is very open and puts everybody at ease very quickly with her injury. And but some people, kind of takes them a bit to get the story out, but it's there. So that's part of my job, is to find that story, and that takes a lot of time, and then putting it together and then making it visually entertaining. That is a combination of all that. And then finding the music to carry the mood, because I will not use popular music to buy my music. I can't take a stand as a copyright photographer and then rip off somebody else's music. So the music search is one of the things that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, you know what?
The right set of music.
You're right. And we do the same. We have the same problem, actually, when we do bumpers and things like that, is finding or new. We're doing a new show and we want to find the music that, that we open the show with, and we have to use royalty free. So we have to be searching through all the royalty free music, and just finding the one that's just right will take hours sometimes.
Hours.
Yep.
Hours. I know.
And I have a taste of this.
Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, sorry. I have the same thing, you know, on such a smaller scale doing online training videos. And I found the most perfect song for something with my horse the other day. It was just a gorgeous song, but I mean, it's copyrighted. And I did my research. And even if you're posting like you playing with your dog on YouTube and you think, well, I can use, you know, this song and I own it on iTunes. It's like, yeah, you own maybe the right to play the song for yourself, but when you get in copyright laws, it's incredibly difficult. And I think a lot of people don't know you can get dinged for that by posting it on sites like YouTube.
Dinged is a polite way of saying thousands of dollars in fines.
That's right. Yes. And it's not that you own it. Just because you bought it, you didn't buy it. You bought a license to play it. And that's what people don't understand. If you bought the license to play it. And what's happening, especially on sites like Vimeo and YouTube and some of these sites, is they actually have, however they're doing it, they'll go through, and I've had a couple of times when I've posted videos and I was contacted and they said, you're playing, you know, music. Do you have a license? And I had to send a copy of the license I purchased to let them know that I had paid for the rights to use the music I was using, because a lot of these stock guys register their music as well. You know, however they do all that, but they're getting serious about it. And, you know, I get it, and you know, people, it's a problem we face in the internet in general. You know, if it's on the internet, it's bound to be free. You know, we fight that all the time as photographers. All artists do.
Well,
before
we run out of time, Scott, I want to do two things. One is, where can people see this video? I did post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, but if they want to follow the whole series, what's the best way to do that?
Right now, Glenn, I'll tell you what, the best way to follow the series right now is going to be through my Facebook page and or email me. We're creating a new website specifically for 12-12-12. It's in the process of being designed right now. And probably the easiest way would be just to stay up with it on my Facebook page. It's Scott Trees or Scott Trees Photography. Both will have the links once the Facebook page is completed, and we're also in the web page, and also we're doing a 12-12-12 Facebook page. So I wasn't prepared. I thought we'd get some response. I wasn't prepared for the overwhelming response that we got to this. I mean, I just posted it last week, and it's already been seen in 107 countries.
Right. That says a lot about you. It also says a lot about the Arabian world, both, and the quality of the video. You know, in podcasting, I go to podcasting conferences all the time, and they always are saying content, content, content. It still comes back to having engaging content, and you did well with that.
It does, and you're right. You're so right, Glenn. And what I'm hoping is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that go, oh, it's about Arabians, I don't want to watch it. Like, actually, there's some interesting stories that are going to be offered that happen to feature Arabians.
Yeah, but this is more about people.
This is about people. And and hence, you know, that the title I gave it, I mean, there are some, you know, we're looking at featuring some horses that, you know, in the Wounded Warrior program that are just kind of amazing at what they do. And then the people that are involved. But there's the key for me is the story. That's I enjoy telling them, and I've kind of got a knack for it, and it's what I'm doing. I'm putting a lot of my efforts right now.
Well, one other thing before we let you go is you're doing a presentation called Because of Horses, Lessons Learned, Lessons Lived.
Yes.
And that's going to be at if you're in the Lexington, Kentucky area, it's going to be at the Hunter Jumper Building at the Kentucky Horse Park, April the 16th at 7:30 p.m. What's that going to be?
Well, Because of Horses is a compilation of the stories and experiences that have taken place in my life that have helped shape my life. And along the way, of course, because of my association with horses, I've had some pretty remarkable experiences happen that had a big impact. And so I share some of these stories and these lessons that I learned because of these journeys, and also then showcase some of the pictures I'm talking about that share those stories. For example, I learned the concept of choice and consequence very strongly, and especially what's a right and what's a privilege. And share some humorous things that have happened to me, funny things that have happened along the way. But all of these stories that I share happen because of my association with horses. So it covers a lot of different breeds. A lot of the pictures I share are pictures I took for myself when I was traveling, and not so much from the advertising sense when I was working. And I enjoy speaking. I'm doing a lot more of that, and certainly I'm always looking for outlets that people are looking for me to speak. Get in touch with me. But Kentucky Horse Park, actually this this was an offshoot of the show you mentioned. The show that I mentioned, that you mentioned that I gave at Kentucky Horse Park, was called Because of Horses, which was a series of images that I took because I was around horses. And so I just decided to expand upon that. And I've been speaking on and off most of my career, but making more of a concentrated effort now. And this is a fun program. It gets great response, and I have a good time giving it. And yeah, it gets kind of emotional at times as well.
April 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hunter Jumper Building, new Hunter Jumper Building at the Kentucky Horse Park. Scott, as always, you know we love you. It's Trees.
Hey, pleasure. I'm honored every time you call me. I always enjoy being on your show.
Treesmedia.com is the website, right?
Yes, that's it.
They want to check out your artwork. If you haven't seen Scott's artwork yet, head over to treesmedia.com. It is well worth the visit. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks. You guys have a great morning.
Good luck with it.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Bye.
He's a great guy. He's such an engaging guy. And if you get a chance, if you are in the Lexington, Kentucky area, go see this. His photography is out of this world, and he has the most amazing stories to tell because he has done some things that nobody will ever do, ever.
We need to get him for like a TED Talk or something.
Oh, he would be great at a TED Talk. He would be great at that. He's so engaging. He's just a really, really nice guy.
I was looking at his photos on Facebook while he was talking. They're amazing. They're just really, really engaging photos.
Yep. And he knows how to photograph a horse, and that is a hard thing. That is a hard thing to get right. But the videos he puts together are amazing as well. He just knows how to tell the story. Good for you, Scott. We're glad to know you. Well, let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to be back to talk about the BLM TAP program, all about training up some Mustangs. We're going to do that in just a minute.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Okay, so for our next guest, we have Deborah Collins with the BLM TAP program, and that stands for Trainer Ambassador Pilot Program. I was getting it confused with another program you have. How are you, Deborah?
I'm fine, and feel free to just call me Debbie. I enjoy being a chance to meet with y'all this morning.
Wonderful. So I got a little tongue-tied there. I was thinking you guys have a similar program, or maybe it's with Mustang Heritage, the Trainer Incentive Program, but this Ambassador Program has a few differences. And so you guys are looking for trainers, looks like east of the Mississippi, to train up Mustangs for the public?
Right. And basically, if you don't mind, let me just take a brief second to kind of explain the difference in the two, because that is one of the things we're describing a lot to folks that is, you know, especially ones that are familiar with the Trainer Incentive Program that's managed through our partnership with the Mustang Heritage Foundation. So the Mustang Heritage Foundation has done an amazing job and continues to do an amazing job for us, helping place animals into training programs. One of the differences, though, in their program is the level of training is really just pretty much at a gentling level. Many
right.
trainers take the time to go further into, you know, going all the way under saddle, but ideally they only have to get it to the gentling phase where they can load into a trailer, pick up its feet, you know, those types of basic groundwork things, and then can be reimbursed by the Mustang Heritage Foundation upon finding someone who's willing to adopt or purchase the animal. And that goes on nationwide and will continue to do so. This is not replacing that program at all. In fact, their program is getting even more traction the last 2 years. So they're continuing to blow and go, no problem. So the the purpose of the trainer ambassador program, that our trainer ambassador pilot program, we also are getting tongue tied trying to keep up with all of our different programs, because we also have a borough and center program called BIP, and that's managed out of California by our new partner out there. So anyway, our trainer ambassador pilot program is an opportunity for BLM to contract with trainers in the East Coast region that can get the animals all the way under saddle. And the reason we're doing this is because one of the things that the Mustang Heritage Foundation has struggled with trying to basically work with their budget that they're provided between us and the donations they receive from the public and so forth. They're trying to obviously keep their costs, you know, at a certain percentage. So they're not wanting to really try to regenerate their program to incur extra costs to get animals at a higher level of training. So this is an opportunity for us to get animals at a higher level of training outside of the Extreme Mustang Makeover events, and get these folks hopefully in pockets where we don't normally go for adoptions. Yeah, as you know, the East Coast area is, what, 30-plus states by the time you count the all east, everything east of the Mississippi and bordering. So that is a huge area for offices in Milwaukee and Jackson, Mississippi, to try and cover each year. And so they just can't get everywhere where we know we have people that are interested in getting a horse or a burro. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that these folks will be able to fulfill some of those areas and train animals. They'll market the animals they have trained up. People will be able to come to them rather than having to drive, you know, several hundred miles maybe to one of our annual events, or maybe not adopt at all because they didn't want to travel. So that's the overall goal, is one, trying to get another way to get more trained animals available for the public to adopt or purchase, and two, trying to spend a little extra money to try and get in some of these locations where we know people have an interest. We just don't have an infrastructure right now for them to get there any other way.
Right. And I'm looking at all the requirements. As you said, with the tip, it's pretty much a genneling. They need to, you know, lead and load on a trailer. Mm-hmm. And then for this, it's everything from loading in the trailer, safely led from one area to another, walk, jog, and around pen on lunge line. It can be bridled, can be saddled, can be ridden at a walk, jog. And I think this is such a great idea, because I do think there is a big demand for the Mustangs that have already been gentled, because most of the folks that I know who love the Mustangs, who really want them, they're not colt starters. And, you know, mm-hmm. they might not have the time or resources to gentle a wild one, but would still like to have a nice riding Mustang. So I think this is such a great idea. I'm hoping you get it in Texas soon.
Yeah, actually, this is, like I said, it's considered a pilot program to see how it goes this first year. We're real excited that over the last few weeks that we've had so much interest between, I've talked to people from Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, the New England area, which is all areas that we were hoping we would be hearing from. So that's one of the things I wanted to announce this morning, is that we're actually extending the deadline for people to submit their proposals to May the 6th. And hopefully that will show up on our website later today. So we made that decision yesterday. So that'll give people a couple more weeks past the April 26th deadline to pull their information together. The other thing I wanted to really encourage folks is that I've talked to people that they were wondering, okay, is this for BLM's, you know, is this their opportunity to try and reach out to these professional trainers, like your Pat Pirellis, Clinton Anderson, and so forth. And truly, this is an opportunity for you, the, you know, local trainer that is making a living and doing a great job, you know, day-to-day training animals. This is a great opportunity for you to now incorporate, hopefully, the wild horse into your operation. So we're not looking for necessarily big time, you know, big ranch. You know, if you have a great place, you know, awesome. But, I mean, as far as the facility requirements, those are going to be required, have the same requirements as for our adopters. So it's just a matter of how many animals you want to take upon you to train. So that's one of the things we wanted to make sure you were aware of. And so we have a web page. If you go to BLM.gov and click on Wallhorse and Borough, there is a link that says funding opportunities. And we actually have two right now. One of them is not as much in your for your area as the off-range pasture solicitation, but the other one is for the trainer ambassador program. And when you go there, it kind of lays out the steps on how you have to get a Duns & Bradstreet number, get checked into sams.gov, and all that is, to take the mystery away from it, is that when you do business with the government, we have to have you in the official system, and that's all that's for. There's no charge. There's no mystery to it. It's just a couple of steps, but you do have to get it done in order for your proposal to be actually accepted. Now, there's some other resources on there, like if you're feeling overwhelmed by, my goodness, this has all these things. It's wanting me to supply. How do I go about doing that? We've also supplied some resources, and one of them that we have listed is called the Procurement Technical Assistance Center. And this is actually a group of people that is federally funded to help people do business with the government. So we actually have someone that I know right now is actually working with that group in one of the other states and getting assistance to put their proposal together, because they didn't really know how to start, and so they're helping them pull that together. And what's nice about it is that there's not a high charge for it, because a lot of the things that they do, there's no charge at all, and anything that they may charge you for may be very limited. So it's definitely a resource to check out. There's also a couple other...
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I want to remind everybody, we're speaking with Deborah Collins of the BLM TAP program. So if I'm sitting at home right now listening to this, how do I know if I'm a qualified enough trainer to even want to start the process?
Good question. Basically, in the proposal, it will ask you for experience level. So what we're going to be looking for is...
By the way, everybody thinks they're more experienced than they are.
Exactly. and as we all know, and this is one of the things that I hear over and over, is that there's people that will train an animal and they're trying to provide assistance to the person that maybe takes the animal from them and give that assistance. And they're like, oh, no, I know what I'm doing. I don't need your help. And as we all know, sometimes that trainer has some cues that they've put into the training with the horse that does, it's helpful for the new owner to know about. So it's kind of a two-way street. But as far as the training level, we'll be looking for things that show what type of, how long you've been doing it, what's your training method, maybe examples of competitions you've been in where you've won some money or something as a result of your training. So, like I said, it's a pilot program, so we're really looking to see what kind of information comes in. As far as if you make what we call the shortcut, that when the proposals come in and we look them over visually from the paperwork process, we'll make a determination of who, has met that initial qualification before we go out and do it on-site. So that gives us another opportunity to meet one-on-one with the person, look over their facility, make sure, it's going to meet our requirements, talk to the person, get a better feel. So like I said, I would just encourage anyone that has any interest. I've talked to folks, in fact, down in Florida, that they're currently doing domestic animals, and they would like to incorporate the wild horse into their program.
Now,
and so that's what we're seeing a lot of.
Is it one horse at a time, or can people get multiple? I know there's an incentive. I don't know what the word is. You pay them a certain amount to do this training. And so is it one horse at a time? Is it multiple horses? How's that work?
Okay. Basically, what we'll look at is what you can, what we can approve you for. We normally don't approve anyone for more than four at a time, and it's all based on facility space. So if you have 400 square feet per horse that meets our facility requirements, and you can take on four horses and you want to do that, then that's what we'll look at. So it'd be anywhere between one and four. And keep in mind then also at the end of the journey with the horse, and you'll also be paid a fee. And so that's what a lot of this is based on, is your preparing a proposal that shows what is your real cost that you want to be reimbursed for the feed and care. What is the cost you want to be reimbursed for the training of that animal? And I always remind people that, you know, be sure and put your profit margin in there, because, you know, obviously we don't want you to do this for free. So it's real important for you to calculate what do you feel is fair market value for you to receive back for your cost and training, so that you feel like you're making a business out of this.
Very good. Well, I think it's a great anything we can do to get more of the Mustangs in people's homes, and, you know, ultimately at the end and out of the pens is a good thing. So I appreciate you guys putting this together. And I really like the fact, you know, Mustangs have always been easier to get with the prison programs and everything else. And we had you guys on a little bit ago. And, you know, Mary has trained Mustangs, and my co-host Jamie has a couple, you know.
And I know. I've seen some great pictures.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's always been easier on the West Coast than the East Coast. So I'm so happy that that you're doing that a little bit over here, and that we might see more Mustangs heading into people's homes here on the East Coast. So good for you guys.
Well, we actually have some more coming your way to Jacksonville, Florida in May. I wanted to take a real quick second to point out to people, we actually, the Mustang Heritage Foundation will be having one of their Extreme Mustang Makeover events in Jacksonville, there at the Jacksonville Equestrian Center, and that'll take place May 6th and 7th with the animals that are competing that weekend. They'll be available for adoption then on May 7th. So we hope people have an opportunity to come out and see horses and perhaps adopt an animal at that location as well.
All right, very good. What's the website again?
It is blm.gov/WHB. And we also have an 866-468-7826 number that you're welcome to call, and we'll answer questions. So I really appreciate the time to get the word out. And again, the deadline has been extended through May the 6th.
Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Do you have any Mustangs on the property right now?
I do. I have Jax, who's my 2012 Extreme Mustang Makeover horse. And then I have Chompers.
Chompers?
Yes. Affectionately
named.
Did
he get that name because he is a chomper?
You know, it was a little premature. When I first went to approach him, he kind of had his ears pricked forward and started walking toward me. And usually if they kind of walk right toward you in the very first moment, you want to be on guard a little bit. And sure enough, he did bare his teeth. But no, he's a really cool little Mustang. He's a pony size. He's as cute as a button. And I was going to use him for one of my Mustang Million horses, and he just didn't come far enough along in training by the time that came. So I still have him. I'm actually going to be looking to sell him here pretty soon. And then I have a Tiger Colt that was actually born here, but he was wild in the belly. So his mother was, you know, she got pregnant in the wild, and then I adopted her, and she had him.
Very good. Well, we are brought to you today partly by our good friends at Ovation. Horse people know they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling tack and attire. Affordable show gear for horse and rider, they have that too. And a top-of-the-line equipment for riders on the world stage. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com to see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. You know, we love Ovation products. Everybody that's a regular listener to the show knows that we don't advertise products we don't use, and you know, Jamie has all Ovation helmets out there, and that's what she uses. She and has used for what they were intended. And she can still talk, so they've protected her head, and she's gone out and gotten more. All of her students use Ovation products. But you got the breeches, you have the tack, you have a whole bunch of different lines of products. You can find them all at OvationRiding.com. Thank them for their continuing support. Well, I was thinking about a song today, and I was thinking about the fact that we lost Merle Haggard, who obviously was one of the legends in the old country world. And I wanted to find a song that kind of felt old country to me, and I found Stephanie Quayle did one called Love Stuck. And it's also kind of a funny song. So I thought I'd play this, and this is for Merle. It's a song called Love Stuck. We'll be right back. Really Bad Ads is coming up.
I've been love stuck like a bee in honey, cheese on bologna, horse like corn and macaroni, and it's killing me. I've been love stuck like a truck in a mud hole, tongue to a flagpole, frozen ice cold, and I need to break free.
That's Stephanie Quayle with Love Stuck. That is a very interesting song. And anybody in the horse world just has those visualizations of the flies, and it's just the whole thing. I don't know why I sounded so funny. Jennifer thought it said love sucks, and she said it makes more sense now.
It makes more sense.
stuck.
I like the love sucks version.
It probably would have been funnier. How your day is going. Jennifer, we can barely hear you. You're going to need to
depending on how your day is going, sure. Yeah. Love sucks can work too.
I think it might have been funnier if it said love sucks, actually.
Have you ever seen The Wedding Singer? It's one of the good Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, one of the very few good Adam Sandler
movies. Yeah, you have to qualify that.
Got awesome movies. Unfortunately, his bad movies are starting to outweigh the good ones. But yeah, after his fiance left him at the altar, he sings Love Stinks. And I just was remembering that scene. It was very special. One of his better movies.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. If you're just joining us, Jamie announced that yesterday that she was going to Hawaii. Apparently, her husband said, well, look, I have this new airline job. I can get free flights anywhere. Let's go to Hawaii. So they did. They went to the airport, showed up, and waited for a plane that had seats and went to Hawaii. So that's why she is not here this morning, but we really appreciate Mary Kitzmiller filling in today. And it is that time of the week, everybody.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week. That time of the week for really bad ads, where our listeners send in really crappy Craigslist ads usually, and we just have a little fun with them to end the week here on Horses in the Morning. This is Mary's Virgin Run. Mary is a virgin at really bad ads. And Mary, all I got to say is don't suck. So,
man, that's too much pressure.
Don't suck.
Those are, can I get that embroidered on a pillow? I'm going to make one of my inspirational Facebook posts, you know, where you overlay the hipster font over the, you know, the lens glare photo.
Yeah,
it's going to go viral.
Just going to say, don't suck.
Yes. Yes. For inspirational words of the day.
Jennifer, what is our prize for this month? As you know, we give a prize away every month and we take everybody that submits ads, we put them in a big pile, we draw a name, and that's who wins the prize for the month. And this month, we have some terrific prizes. Jennifer's going to tell us about them.
This month's prize package includes, from A Little Pet Vet, a big 5-pound bag of happiness in the form of Enjoyum's horse treats. They are a no-sugar horse treat that are good for your horse, and they're a cute little heart shape that's easy to break in half so you have no messy pockets, and you can divvy them out in small quantities for naughty ponies. And also from A Little Pet Vet, an illuminated hoof pick. It's the hoof pick that does more because it's got a powerful LED light with a handy-dandy little switch right there, stainless steel hoof pick that will not bend, and a heavy-duty brush for getting the fine stuff out. And last but not least, your prize package will include a Horse Radio Network logo embroidered saddle pad. Yay!
And there's a lot of people wanting that right now. So we want to thank A Little Pet Vet, and you can find all of their products at alittlepetvet.com. And I've been using the illuminated hoof pick. It's scooter approved. I've been using it for 5 years now, and the little steel thing has, the brush still works, and the steel thing hasn't bent. So if you can use a hoof pick with the brush that hasn't bent for 5 years, you know it's a good one. So that's they're available at your local tax stores. All right, Mary, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, what we didn't tell you is that occasionally if the ad's from the South, we make you do it in a Southern accent. So get that ready, too. You live in Texas.
Man. Do I not already have one?
You really don't.
You know, I find I get more Southern if I'm
drunk?
On camera for whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I get more gangster if I'm drunk. that's a whole other story. If I'm filmed for something, I have an accent. You know, when I first moved from Oklahoma, I spent a year of high school in Illinois. Someone thought I was British. Like, how are you confusing a British accent with Oklahoma?
Oklahoma doesn't really Southern either. It's kind of a...
They were drinking, too.
Yeah, they were drinking, too. Right, exactly. Well, the first one is from North Corbin, Kentucky. And you're going to love this one. This was sent in by Joyce McKinney. Thank you so much, Joyce, for sending this one in. It's from a Facebook posting in North Corbin, Kentucky. It's short and sweet. Me and my woman are looking to rent a 3-bedroom house or trailer. We want to be on a farm. $350. Now, if you're looking to rent your house or your trailer on your farm, if the ad starts, me and my woman, you probably don't want to rent it to them.
I love it. I love it. I'm imagining like cowboy version of Robert Duvall, like when he does his westerns, Robert Duvall saying, me and my woman.
Oh, you know, that isn't what I was picturing. I was picturing with the guy in the wife beater t-shirt with stains all over it and a beer belly.
I was being optimistic, but yeah, they probably have skinned a gator once in their lives. Yeah,
with
if
no
I were
teeth.
To guess.
That's kind of what I was picturing. Yeah.
Do they want to pay $350?
Yeah, 50, yeah. They're going to go up to $350. So.
Like just the one-time fee?
Yeah, exactly. And stay there for about 6 years and you could never get them out. Yeah, I don't advise it. So Jamie, I guess, sent in the next one. This one's yours. Did we lose Mary?
I think we lost Mary.
Oh, it's mine?
Yes.
Well, see,
you're the brownish
thing.
Color.
Let me help Mary out. Glenn forgot to tell you that your ads are a different color than his ads.
Oh, no, I did tell her that.
I got that, but it said Jamie on top of this one.
Yes, that's who sent it in.
Yes.
Yep.
I got it. Oh, man, I failed. Already out the gate.
You already screwed up.
So I have two very well broke trail verses. With some ranch experience, selling goes with not having a room do the remodel. Mare is about to install 15, 115 years old. Dealing is about 15, 15, one hands in 9 years old, two good safe horses, 1500 piece or 2700 for both. Oh man, that hurt.
What did you just say? I have no idea what you just said.
My theory is this was typed with a phone.
Yeah, well, that doesn't even explain all of the things that were wrong with this ad. Wow.
The horse is 115 years old. So
yes, and apparently they don't have room to remodel, is why I don't know what that.
Do the remodel. Yeah, man.
There's a lot of misspellings in this one. That was hard to get through.
Wow. And he's like 1,515 one hands in 9 years.
That's a tall horse.
9 years old. Two is not the number two, I should point out. It's T-O-O, good safe horses.
Nazi, the grammar Nazis coming out.
Oh, wow. Man. Yeah.
You're so picky, Mary. You're so picky. Sienna sent the following one in. I got a couple broad mares to trade for green broke horse. And that's right, broad mares. I got a couple of broad mares and a bay filly colt to trade for a green broke gelding or mare. I got 13-year-old buckskin mare, halter broke and tame. And a white mare halter broke and a bay filly colt mare should be bred to Palomino's stud, should foal this fall if somebody wants to trade. I'll trade for everybody, say it together. Guns.
And that was in Texas.
I guarantee you it's in Texas. Mary, every week somebody's trading for guns. Apparently there are a lot of horses traded for guns in this country, and most of them are in your state of Texas.
All I had to do was trade in my gun and I could get a horse.
That's it. That's all you have to do. Just contact any one of the 1,000 ads we have every week from Texas. I have no idea what's going on here, but I really like that the Bay Philly Colt should be bred to the Palomino Stud. And I was kind of trying to figure that one out. There's some interesting things going on in this farm.
Oh, man. Should be bred, but also, should be due this fall. So... Even though they're not sure if the horse is bred, it's probably going to have a baby.
Probably the colt is not bred. That I can say that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably.
Well, you know, and I do have to say, I kind of throw around colt with a little bit of You know, I'm not quite as picky on the word cult because I say cult starting all the time. So that could be, you know, yeah, that, we'll let that one pass. But okay. It's very sad.
The next one is our trailer of the week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I have to say that I'm looking at a picture of this and this actually kind of looks like a trailer that I have. It's a 1995 WW single horse trailer and it's paint faded, some surface rust. And when I say some, they're downplaying it a little when you look at the photo. Scratches, some dents. Again, they're being a little bit
generous.
You just have to see the photo. Yeah. Some dents, new tires, sturdy floor, no warranty, but can be seen Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 at 750. Now, I do have to say, these little single horse trailers are, people love them. That one, this one might be a little bit beyond saving. It's just a little rusty.
I'm pretty sure it's in the impound lot at the state police right now, looking at that picture.
And there's a sign on the side. It was owned by the Kingman Classic Champion Team Roper.
You know, like I said, these little guys, these little single horse trailers, this is what the cowboys used to take to the ropings and the rodeos, and they'd haul it behind a big old Cadillac. And I had one, and people love them. They're the biggest.
And Burt Reynolds gets out of the Cadillac.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I had one that was restored, and I ended up selling it because my big fat horse had no chance of heck of fitting in it. They assured me you could put like a 1,500-pound horse in this, but I'm nicer to my horse.
I don't know. Wouldn't horses get really claustrophobic in this thing? I mean, it's narrow.
You know, those team roping horses are so broke when they, you know, they're so broke to be tied and staying on a trailer for hours at a time.
And they have to get in by themselves. You're not leading your horse into this trailer because you're not getting out.
Oh, no. Yeah, you need to be up on your Pirelli-esque trailer loading skills. Your horse has to do the job himself because there's no way. And now there is an escape door, I think.
Yeah. Maybe if it works. Now, the one thing I will say about this really, by the way, Jennifer will put this on our Facebook page like she does every week. The one thing I will say about this is this has the nicest damn tires I've ever seen on a bad trailer. They're brand new. When they say brand new tires, they mean brand new tires. I've never seen that on a trailer like this. Now, the rust needs some help because pretty much the whole bottom of the trailer is going to fall out.
If a little less rust, I would say this would be an awesome project for someone to get and sandblast and prime and paint it up super cool retro with some chrome. It would be awesome. And then haul it behind a Cadillac.
I haven't seen that in a long time, the Cadillac calling the horse trailer. I really haven't seen that in a long time. Shelley sent the following one in. 4-year-old paint mixed bread, B-R-E-A-D. That's right. We have a paint mixed loaf of bread for $1,500. Oh, man. This is a bad one. Here for you, I have one mist bred paint horse. He a 4-year-old baby still. He will be a big guy as more years go. Ain't bigger horse. My son rides him, but in a very advanced rider. Wait a minute. My son rides him, but he, a very advanced rider.
And very advanced rider.
And I don't expect other 4-year-olds to do what he can do.
The horse is the 4-year-old, not the child.
But it makes it sound like the child's a 4-year-old and is an advanced rider.
Punctuation is important, people.
I think the kid is 4, to be honest. I really do.
Is this in Texas, too? He can be a touchy on Satel, but if you have SOF hand and leg, he not bad gets bucking out fast.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Then when he trusts you, you fine.
You fine.
You fine when he trusts you and the bucking's all done. You fine.
For the 4-year-old kid to ride.
Willing to let him go for $1,500, which WITCH is super cheap. But more if you want add-ons.
Wrinkles and chocolate sauce.
He comes with OnStar. Yeah.
He will make good horse for whatever you want to do. He will do it all. Ain't for deliver, got no trailer. I would consider trade for assorted farm animals. What,
oh,
no
man,
guns?
I could get him. I have assorted farm animals.
Yes, you do. Dude. You do have assorted farm animals.
I have an assortment.
You want a zebra? You want whatever you want.
This is taking 5 years off my life.
Every word in this is misspelled. Every single word. But I think that's the line of the day. But if you have SOF hand and leg, he not bad. Gets buck out soft. Fast.
Yes. If you have soft hand and leg, you get him ready for your toddler.
That's almost like you expect every horse is going to buck. And you just, it's how long it takes for the bucking to stop, which is what makes a good horse.
Is that not what horses do?
Only in Texas, Mary. Only in Texas.
Oh, man. Okay. So we have one from Mary Ellen Murphy. It's a gooseneck stock / horse trailer, $800. Hello. I have a horse trailer.
Hello.
H-E-L-L-O-W. I have a horse trailer, but it's all open inside to the devitters out. One big open trailer. It pulls good. The lights and brakes work fine. Tires look good, but it's old, no title, and some rust would need some metalwork on the sides, and the doors need work bad in the back, but good to move livestock around on a farm. Well, that was one of the more eloquent ones after all.
Yeah.
So don't take it on the road, people.
Yeah.
Do not take it on the road.
Doesn't go on the road.
So, oh, my gosh.
I don't know how.
How do you misspell hello?
I know. H-E-L-L-O-W. Hello.
Hello.
Who is the comedian that used to say hello? There you go.
Oh, man. I'm surprised I don't know this.
Dividers. I like how that's spelled, too. That's how I would spell it. D-E-V-I-D-E-R-S. Dividers. Well, that's how it sounds. Dividers.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what the hell to do with the next one. I really don't. I don't even know if I can read this. This is Allison Ball sent this one in. And I'll try. Eight years old's gilding for retirement home. It's a gilding. G-U-I-L.
So he's gilded.
By the way, we've determined, Mary, after reading these ads for 5 years, that nobody can spell gelding. There's no geldings in the world.
People even pronounce it, especially in the Midwest. They'll say gilding.
Well, that's how they spell it, too.
I'm just biting my cheek like, oh, you're gilding. Yeah, totally.
All right, here we go. He is a very sweet boy and safe horse to be around. He is respectful on ground, and loved kids. He had bad injuries, I-N-J-E-R-I-E-S. It was spelled that way consistently the whole way through. This one, everything's spelled wrong. I'm not going to tell you about the spellings. Just count on everything being spelled wrong. And don't people have spell check anymore? He had bad injuries in 2012 after bad fall or kick. He have a pelvis injuries. He have problem with coxatitis. Joint arthritis.
Joint arthritis?
Arthritis. That's even better. It's joint arthritis. Yes. Yeah. It's a new disease. Coxatitis, joint arthritis. He cannot do riding anymore except for pony ride for kids and probably light trail at walk. With properly care, he can have a lot to give to the right person. He is not spooky. Because he's lame and he can't move. He need a quiet body's pasture because he is easily bully by other horses and he is blind one side and he tend to injured is sell to escape the aggressive horse.
I like how they snuck the fact that he's blind in there halfway in the ad. It's very subtle. I don't know if
you
caught that.
Yes. And he's easily bullied. The reason I put it for a new home is because I cannot give him the pasture mate he need, and he is losing weight now. He is well-trained and trained for harness, too. He can be a nice harness horse for pleasure or a nice horse for pasture bodies because he is really not aggressive or dominant. He can be an amazing therapeutic horse. Reference will be required.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Okay. I could not. Some of those were so out of the blue. And then I used my context clues. So bully, B-O-W-L-I-E, is bullied.
Yes.
And then for bodies, it's buddies.
Buddies. And yes.
Let me just say, probably my number one pet peeve that makes me only slightly homicidal is the mixing up of loose and lose.
When I do that all the time, though. You have to forgive that one because I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I really have to concentrate on that, or I tend to use L-O-O-S-E for everything.
No. Well, you know, I say that. I'm being really picky, but for some reason, I have this mental disorder. Earlier when I was like, oh, it's a Jamie on the ad, I cannot... I know that Jamie's a different word than Jen, and I know what your name is, but when I read the word, I think Jen. So that's why I didn't read that first ad. Like, I don't, it's like a dyslexia thing.
Well, and you sent, when I sent you the message, when I sent her a text and said, can you do the show this morning because Jamie went to Hawaii, you thought it was Jennifer, and she right away was like, are you guys okay? Why did Jennifer go to Hawaii?
I thought you got left. I was like, why did she up and go to Hawaii all of a sudden and didn't take Glenn with her? Like, oh man, I hope everything's okay. I was expecting
that question. This is philosophical, but the answer to the question, why would Jennifer get up and go to Hawaii, is because someone gave me a ticket.
That's right.
That's the only reason I need.
That's right.
Yeah, it's Hawaii, so.
Yeah.
Although she goes to Hawaii, I'd really prefer she took me with her. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Well, that was a bad ad. I don't know, Allison. Yeah, I don't know where you found that one, but whew, that was a tough one. All right, one more. Beth sent this one in.
Okay, we have this one from Beth. Horses have three broke horses good for kids.
Wait a minute. This is in the South. You have to do the Southern accent because it's a requirement that the rookie has to do the Southern accent once.
Oh, darn it. Okay. Okay. Have three broke horses good for kids. Oh, and they even use punctuation, but they didn't capitalize the next letter. Come on, people. First horse must go to good home that will take care of them, period. Sell one or all three, two paints and one app, 14 years old. Have them from S Baby Paint Mare, 2,500 app, 2,500. Barrel Racing Paint, 1,000. Don't not need help selling them. Will not drop the price at $500. Horses, these guys are bulletproof horses. I shoot off two of them.
I'm not sure if that's a Southern accent. I'm not sure what the hell accent that was.
I was kind of mixing a few regions up there.
The hell was that,
sure,
Mary?
I was going to go, I have no, I'm not an actress.
You lived in Europe for a while, didn't you?
No, I've been there.
Yeah, there was a little bit of British and a little bit of Southern and a little bit of I don't know what.
I thought I was British. Did you know, fun fact, that the British accent and the Southern accent have a lot of similarities?
Yes,
in fact, you know, the way we read Shakespeare in modern times is probably not the way it actually sounded in real life. It probably sounded something closer to a Southern accent.
Well, you know, yours actually, Jamie's is a lot more redneck Southern. Yours is definitely more refined, upper class, live in a mansion Southern.
Yes, I would have worn a hoop skirt.
Yes,
and a little parasol.
Yes, you definitely would have. Where Jamie would have been, taking care of your horses. Yes.
I would have been dating Rhett Butler.
That's it. Thank you, everybody, for sending the ads in. We really appreciate it. You did it, Mary. You got through it. Good for you. Your first time. Now she's going to go she's going to go have hives the rest of the day after all of that bad punctuation. And
that took
spelling.
So many years off my life.
We're going to be back here on Monday. I'm not sure who's going to be here on Monday. I know that Jennifer and I will be here on Monday because Jennifer did not go to Hawaii like some other people we know. So she might be back. She might not. I don't know. Well,
it depends on how things go this weekend. Really? I may or may not be back.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
Because, you know,
and actually,
take
Jennifer, you're competing in a... You had originally signed up to take Beaker. Tell everybody what this is, what kind of competition this is.
A lot of folks are familiar with ACTHA events.
Right. But this isn't an ACTHA event, right?
It's not an ACTHA event. It's very similar in that it is either a trail ride that has obstacles. So you're out there for, you know, 3 or 4 hours. It's a big, long trail ride through the countryside. And there are obstacles periodically, and the obstacles are judged. You're judged on your horsemanship skills. For example, if you have to go in, dismount, walk your horse over a giant log, and then mount again, you're judged on whether or not you do it properly and whether or not your horse stands still to be mounted and dismounted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to go to that. But they're having it at the Black Prong Equestrian Center, which is a driving venue, carriage driving venue. So they have these really amazing obstacles, or hazards, as they were once called. And they're really very, they're really cool. They spared no expense in building these things. So I'm very excited because I get to go and ride through these obstacles. But Beaker, I knew this would happen. The minute I sign up for this trail event, Beaker finds himself a new home. So
literally yesterday, yes, she signed up, paid her $50, and the people said, "I want to come out and see Beaker today." Came out and bought him. So,
oh, man.
So now I have to go to the B team.
Yes. So the new horse, who hasn't been away from the farm yet, gets to go do these obstacles. Yeah. And it's really cool because they are doing, it's the first time I've ever seen this, they're actually using the combined driving event obstacles for this trail class. And some of those are pretty exotic. So it'll be interesting to see how
it
goes.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's going to be really interesting to see with the new guy how it goes, Nigel. Yeah. Seeing he's never been away from home, let alone done anything like this.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of that coming up this weekend. You have anything fun, Mary?
Are you teaching your calf to do oxers next? I noticed he's proficient at a cross rail for oxers next.
Yes, she's quite the jumper. And, you know, I should learn from my own life lessons, like the time I had a longhorn steer that could jump any fence ever. And so now I'm teaching Mike how to jump, which apparently with cows, that's not what you want to teach, but I think it'll be fine. Yes, I'll be training on my cows and my Z-Donk and my Thoroughbred. I've got a couple Mustang events coming up, so I'm going to be working with my Mustangs. So, yeah.
How's the Thoroughbred? Totally Mary got a Thoroughbred, and this is her first Thoroughbred for training, for the Thoroughbred makeover at the end of the year in Kentucky. So how's the Thoroughbred doing? And his name is Moonshine.
Moonshine. Yes, his jockey club name is Landon's First, and I gave him a new barn name, which I know you're not supposed to do, but I couldn't help myself. And yeah, this is my first, I'm sure I've been on a Thoroughbred before, but this is my first real experience intensively training an off-the-track Thoroughbred. And I got to tell you, he's a genius. He's really, really smart. And I don't know if this is indicative of all Thoroughbreds, but this guy has a canter on him that is amazing. He can practically canter in place.
That's definitely Thoroughbred thing.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at this. I'm like, well, he goes around. I've been, you know, kind of moving him around the round pen, and he will just rock back into this pleasure horse lope. Like he's going, you know, a mile an hour, but he's got so much impulsion. Like he's really reaching deep under with his back legs. And I'm just looking at that like, oh, this is going to be awesome. So I'm really excited. I'm actually probably going to get on him for the first time here soon in the next couple of days. And we'll be filming it as well.
Very Woo-hoo! Good. Yeah. I definitely want a video of that.
Oh yeah. It's going to go totally fine.
You spend a lot of time. One thing Mary does is she spends a lot of time with them on the ground. So by the time she gets on them, they're ready. So you're not one of those that just jumps on after a day of groundwork.
It depends. It depends. I've done some colt stuff where you sort of had to and ridden with folks, and that's their program where they're putting a couple rides on them within the first. I did a Martin Black clinic, and we were on these colts in the sleeting February cold. And these colts had never been handled. We had to like round them up in a trailer to get them the round pen. And we were on them in a half an hour and no one died. It was really, and no, nothing bucked. It was the most quiet. Martin's one of those guys. He's amazing. And these colts were just, but yeah, typically I do my homework on the ground for sure.
And I know you have with this guy. And Thoroughbreds, sometimes they're interesting. So it'll be fun to see how that goes. wear your helmet. Just saying.
Well, he's never had a real saddle on. I mean, he's never had, he's always had a racing saddle with an elastic girth. So this will be his first saddling, too.
And are you riding him England? Do you even own an English saddle?
I do. I still have my collegiate close contact saddle that I evented in. I'd say combined training. I did combined training in. No knee rolls, nothing. I picked it up.
So that was, it's just a couple years old then, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like last year. I could probably sell it as an antique. But I picked it up at a flea market for $200, and that's what I rode my Morgan mare in for dressage and cross country and you name it.
There's the side of Mary that nobody knew existed, the English side.
I know. That's what I started doing, was the English.
Yeah, that's, who knew? The cowgirl now. All right, everybody, that's it. We'll be back on Monday. You all have a terrific weekend. Go out and ride your horses. Thanks again, Mary. MaryKitzmiller.com is where you can find all of Mary's information and her DVDs. Your DVDs are available there, right?
They are, yes.
And Jennifer has hers now. She's gonna be watching that. I gave it to her so she can watch her.
Oh, clicker. Good.
Tell everybody, remind everybody what your DVDs are. You have a clicker training one.
I have a colt starting one, and I have a clicker training one, which is just kind of an intro on how to get started and what it is. And then I have a lay down DVD, and this is a way to lay your horse down without using hobbles or ropes
or tranquilizers.
Or tranquilize. Well, you can totally use a tranquilizer. And this is done with positive reinforcement. So you're shaping the behavior. And actually, Moonshine is very close to getting his on cue.
Wow. Look at you go.
Yeah.
What do you do? Get him drunk first?
Totally.
Yep. His name is Moonshine. Does he like beer, by the way?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
I never make it out to the barn with beer because I drink it all. Not really.
MaryKitzmiller.com. We'll see you, everybody.